Back at it right here on Connecticut Today, Monday, March 16th, with an extra hour from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. to keep you updated on all the coronavirus-related information. How are the state's independent businesses going to get through this? How are they faring right now? We talked to Andy Markowski about that. He is state director for the National Federation of Independent Business. Also, we aired a large portion of a major news conference from President Donald Trump, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and other members of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. Right now, gentlemen, we have on the show from time to time, I've talked to him for years, Andy Markowski, he of the Connecticut chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Andy, good to have you on. I would imagine this is going to be a little rough sledding here for many of your member businesses here for the next couple, 3 months.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. And I think you're right. You know, small business owners, like everyone in the state and across the country right now, are, you know, actively paying attention to what's happening in the news. And, you know, it seems like developments are changing nearly by the hour. You know, I think the one thing that is certain right now is there is a lot of uncertainty. And as we've always talked about, uncertainty is a dangerous thing for small business owners. And certainly we're going to see some impacts on their day-to-day operations and on their employees over the days and weeks to come.
Yeah, and there's, you know, you want to talk about, Andy, in this situation, trickle up, trickle down, trickle sideways. I mean, you know, where to begin? I mean, first of all, with this order from Governor Lamont earlier today, going along with the kind of the same thing that Mayor Bill de Blasio has done in New York, Governors Pritzker in Illinois and Mike DeWine in Ohio, no eat-in restauranting for at least the next several weeks or a month or so. And boy, that's and I know they can do takeout and pick up, that's fine. But, you know, for a lot of folks, boy, that really, Andy, has got to be a big whopper right there.
Yeah, unfortunately, we expect that will be the case. You know, when customers stop coming through the doors, it impacts a business's cash flow. And, you know, even before this virus struck, you know, roughly one in five small business owners had been reporting cash flow was a difficult thing for them. So this is only going to accelerate that. On the other hand, you know, those businesses that can be nimble, those businesses that can be flexible, those small businesses that can adapt their business model, they may be able to weather the storm. It's certainly not going to be easy. But, you know, small business owners are very entrepreneurial. That's what they do. And those who can figure out a way to stay afloat in this situation, I think will come out on top in the long run.
Andy, I would imagine a lot of these eateries are going to be, if they haven't already, inquiring about, hey, maybe I should get involved with that DoorDash thing or that Grubhub thing. I mean, you know, there's your opportunity, as you mentioned, right there.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, there are some businesses that never really had any systems or processes in place before to do takeout orders, or at least substantial takeout orders. I'm already hearing from some restaurant owners who are, you know, figuring out how do they sort of retrain their staff, you know, waiters and waitresses and bartenders who normally would be serving in the restaurant now may be more involved in some of the back of the house operations in terms of, you know, prepping and assembling food for takeout or to-go orders or dealing with packaging and delivery. So these are kind of, you know, unprecedented times for everyone. And the businesses are, you know, trying to keep their doors open, trying to keep their lights on. Most importantly, trying to keep people employed, because that's what we need for the economy right now.
Andy Markowski is the guest, NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Businesses, Connecticut chapter, which he looks over. Andy, hang on. We'll be right back to you. First, traffic and weather together as we get through the Monday. You and I, 4:36 on WICC. Well, we continue to deal with the coronavirus. The White House earlier today asking people now to avoid crowds of 10 or more for the next couple of weeks to really try and put a dent in this thing. And you avoid that by not going to restaurants or other businesses. Now, orders have come down by Governor Ned Lamont responding to that. And a guy that's watching all of this, for his clients, the National Federation of Independent Business guy for Connecticut, Andy Markowski. Andy, you know, one of the things that is also, I know, difficult for NFIB members is they're not the major retailers. And the major retailers, even when they have down times, Andy, you and I well know, these major retailers have assets that they can tap into if things are bad, whether they're fully liquid or not. They have, you know, sometimes good relationships with these big banks. I would assume that a lot of your NFIB members don't quite have the pull that some of these mega retailers do to help them get through these tough times.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Paul. You know, many small business owners are leveraged at times. You know, some of them start their business out of their own personal assets, or they borrow against their home. They try and scrape funds together to get things started. And once the business is started and they're up and running, you know, most small business owners are constantly reinvesting into their business. So, you know, on top of cash flow, yeah, credit is a big issue. And, you know, small business owners are now sort of looking ahead to see what's going to happen. But I think, you know, it all comes back to that issue of certainty. I don't think we're going to see, you know, major capital investments until business owners are confident, like the rest of the country, that, you know, we're going to get through these times and figure out, you know, what's on the horizon. You know, in terms of resources, the other thing to keep and remember is to keep in mind is small business owners, they don't have the legal resources or the human resources that some of the large corporations or the quote unquote big box stores and restaurants have. So one of the things that a lot of small business owners and NFIB members are grappling with right now on a, you know, nearly hour by hour basis is, what do they need to do? What are their legal rights? You know, if they do have to close their doors, what does that mean for employees? And, you know, all of these questions are coming in hour by hour, and the business owners have to figure it out on the fly.
Yeah, and Andy, you know, I was talking about this earlier before we hooked up here. You would have to think, and even with my limited knowledge of this stuff, I said you would have to think that there would maybe have to be some sort of a grace period for the big banks that hold so many mortgages and some of these maybe retail shopping center owners who hold leases here for NFIB clients, and even banks who hold who hold auto loans, delivery trucks. I mean, if money is not coming in, those notes are not going to get paid. So I wonder if there will be, I don't know, a 30, 60, 90-day grace period, Andy, where we may just have to call a timeout on all this, get business going again, and then maybe you just tack those missed months on the back of these loans. Because to me, I don't understand, I don't get how these people continue to pay without making money.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, Paul. And, you know, I think the only thing I can say to that at this point is hopefully the markets respond in that regard. You know, when it comes to sort of extending deadlines or granting grace periods, I think some companies may start doing that, and hopefully lenders and property owners will be able to do that as well. And I think, you know, they need to look at, you know, take the lead from government in this sense. And if you look at what the state of Connecticut has done already, they've extended some of the tax return deadlines and the filing deadlines for business taxes. In fact, you know, March 15th is one of the initial due dates for corporation taxes in Connecticut. And so the Connecticut DRS has announced they're extending business tax deadlines by at least 30 days at this point. And, you know, I think that's going to be the new normal in many senses over the next couple of weeks and couple months here. And, you know, it's there are other areas of state government that need to be looked at as well that impact businesses. You know, there are small business owners who hold various licenses or permits and certifications, things from the state that are renewed on an annual basis. And, you know, as these deadlines come up for various license and permit and education certification renewals, business owners have questions, and they're going to be looking to the state of Connecticut to provide some sort of relief or waiver or extension so that business owners aren't unfairly penalized in these circumstances.
And yeah, finally, Andy, I know that you look into much of this when you're up at the state capitol, you know, talking to legislators in both chambers on both sides. So I imagine this is issue one whenever the General Assembly gets back, and they're doing a lot of stuff teleconferencing now, but that they're really going to have to consider stuff like this, if not in this regular short session, then maybe in a special session after this to, again, achieve some of the stuff that you've just talked about.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, NFIB has certainly been in conversations already with some lawmakers about things that they can consider doing, things that the state of Connecticut can consider doing to help small businesses emerge on the other side of this. And, you know, we also have to keep an eye on what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now in terms of some sort of package to come out of Congress that may address businesses, whether it's on issues dealing with unemployment insurance or paid leave or Small Business Administration loans and stimulus. So I think there's a lot more to come over the next several weeks.
Andy Markowski, NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Andy, if people want a website and all that, what do you have for them?
Yeah, please do. They can go to NFIB.com, NFIB.com. And in fact, the team is rapidly putting together kind of a place where business owners can go and find out resources for small business owners. There's a webinar that is recently posted up there. What are small business owners' legal rights? What do they need to know from an HR and legal perspective as they get through this? And many more resources to come at NFIB.com.
NFIB.com, Andy Markowski. Andy, always good to hear from you. Thanks. We'll be in touch. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Andy Markowski, the state chapter guy for NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Businesses.
He was surprised. We were all surprised. We heard about it. We heard about reports from China that something was happening, and all of a sudden, we did make a good decision. We closed our borders to China very quickly, very rapidly. Otherwise, we'd be in a very, as Tony has said numerous times, we'd be in a very bad position, much worse than we would be right now. You look at what's happening in other countries. Italy's having a very hard time. But I think that what we do, and I've spoken actually with my son, he says, how bad is this? It's bad. It's bad. But we're going to be hopefully a best case, not a worst case. And that's what we're working for. Yes.
You can clear up some confusion on two key fronts. One is about your own test. The other is about containment efforts. Is the administration considering more aggressive containment options like a quarantine, a national curfew?
Well, we have that very much. Yeah, we have that very much. And we've been pretty aggressive. We were early with Europe, but we were very, very early with China and other places. And fortunately, we were. And as far as containment here, we're coming out with strong suggestions. And, you know, it's becoming a little bit automatic. You look at people, they're not doing certain things. For instance, they're obviously not, I wouldn't say the restaurant business is booming and bars and grills and all. People are self-containing to a large extent. We look forward to the day when we can get back to normal.
To be specific, what's your second question? Are you considering instituting a nationwide lockdown, a nationwide quarantine? The NSC knocked that down, but there's still some questions about how it all came
at this
to be.
Point, not nationwide, but well, there are some some places in our nation that are not very affected at all. But we may look at certain areas, certain hot spots, as they call them. We'll be looking at that. But at this moment, no, we're not.
The second question is, you said you had your coronavirus test Friday night. The White House doctor's office put out a statement around midnight Friday saying that no test was indicated. So when exactly was your test administered?
Well, I had my test. It was late Friday night. And the reason I did it was because I had no symptoms whatsoever. So the doctor said, you have no symptoms, so we don't see any reason. But when I did the press conference on Friday, everybody was going crazy. Did you do the test? Did you do the test? So very late on Friday night, I did the test. and he may have put out, or the doctor may have put out something at a, I don't know what time the letter went out. Maybe it was put out by somebody else, but the results came back, I believe, the following day, and we tested negative.
But the question is, how could the White House doctor's office say a test wasn't indicated, implying that you hadn't had one when in fact you had?
Well, I told them that, and I went totally by what they said, the doctors, more than one. They said you don't have any of the symptoms. They checked what you're supposed to check, and that I didn't have symptoms. But I did it. I did a test late on Friday night, and it came back probably 24 hours later or something. They sent it to the labs, came back later. Yeah, please.
Mr. President, you had a teleconference with the nation's governors today. Yeah. And in that teleconference, you told them if they need things like respirators or masks to try to get it on their own. What did you mean by that, and what will the federal government do?
If they can get them faster by getting them on their own, in other words, go through a supply chain that they may have, because the governors, you know, during normal times, the governors buy a lot of things, not necessarily through federal government. If they're able to get ventilators, respirators, if they're able to get certain things without having to go through the longer process of federal government, we have stockpiles now, and we're ordering tremendous numbers of ventilators, respirators, masks. And they're ordered, and they're coming, and we have quite a few at this point. I think, Mike, we have a lot. But if they can get them directly, it's always going to be faster if they can get them directly, if they need them. And I've given them authorization to order directly.
Go ahead, please. Mr. President, one of the big weaknesses in our health care system is surge capacity for medical facilities. And I wanted to ask what precautions, what planning is being done to... China was able to build hospitals in a matter of days. Are you prepared to use the Corps of Engineers or FEMA to start building surge capacity that we may need in a couple of weeks?
Well, first of all, we hope we don't get there, and that's what we're doing, and that's why we're taking a very strict look at this. But we also are looking at areas, and not only looking, we're expanding certain areas. We're taking over buildings that aren't used. We're doing a lot in that regard. We hope we don't have to get there. But we are doing a lot in that regard.
Could you clarify something? These guidelines say stay home if you're sick. Yesterday, the vice president said no one should worry about losing a paycheck if they stay home when they're sick. But the House bill exempts companies of 500 employees or more from the paid sick leave requirement, and that's 54% of the American workplace. Why is it a good idea to only require small businesses to provide paid
sick? We're looking at that, and we may be expanding that. We are looking at that. We want fairness. We want it for everybody. No, we're looking at that through the Senate, because, as you know, the Senate is now digesting that bill. So we may very well be adding something on that. Okay? Good question.
One, going off of what he was asking, how many ventilators and how many ICU beds do we have right now, and will it be enough?
I could get back to you with that number. We've ordered a lot. We have quite a few, but it may not be enough. And if it's not enough, we will have it by the time we need it. Hopefully, we won't need them.
And you'll give us the exact number?
Yeah, we'll be able to give you.
Because so far, they have not given us an exact
number. We'll give you. We can give you a number. If it's important, we'll give you a number. Go ahead.
Okay. And yesterday, you said that this was under tremendous control. Do you want to revisit that statement if we are going to be experiencing this until July or August, five more months ahead of right
where
we are
now? When I'm talking about control, I'm saying we are doing a very good job within the confines of what we're dealing with. We're doing a very good job. There's been a... there's been a tremendous amount of the way they're working together. They're working hand in hand. I think they're doing really a great job. And from that standpoint, that's what I was referring to. Yes,
Steve, go ahead. You're not saying it's under control, right?
I'm not referring to it, meaning the... Yeah, if you're talking about the virus, no, that's not under control for any place in the world. I think
yes,
I read.
You said it was.
I think I read. No, I didn't. I was talking about what we're doing is under control, but I'm not talking about the virus. Yes, please.
The stock market took another hit today. Is the U.S. economy heading into a recession?
Well, it may be. We're not thinking in terms of recession. We're thinking in terms of the virus. Once we stop, I think there's a tremendous pent-up demand, both in terms of the stock market and in terms of the economy. And once this goes away, once it goes through and we're done with it, I think you're going to see a tremendous surge.
Are you looking at any domestic travel restrictions? I know that's been on the table before, but is that firming up at all?
We're not really. We hope we don't have to, Steve. We think that hopefully we won't have to do that, but it's certainly something that we talk about every day. We haven't made that decision.
Doctors and nurses in this country are telling us across the board that they're terrified of this virus, of the fact that they might get it, of the fact that they might take it home to their families. What can you say to assure healthcare providers in this country that the federal government is doing something today to ensure that they get personal protective equipment to protect themselves and their families?
Well, I think the federal government is doing everything that we can possibly do. We made some very good early decisions by keeping people out, by keeping countries out, certain countries where the infection was very immense. I notice a lot of people are talking about South Korea because they've done a good job on one side, but on the other side, tremendous problems at the beginning. They had tremendous problems and great numbers of death. I think that we've done a fantastic job from just about every standpoint. With that being said, you look, no matter where you look, this is something. It's an invisible enemy. But we are speaking all the time, not only with the people, but also the professional people, the nurses, the doctors. They have been doing a fantastic job. We are also working very much on getting them the kind of equipment that they need. And for the most part, they either have it or they will be getting it. But remember this, we want the governors, we want the mayors, we want them locally from a local standpoint because it can go quicker. We want them to work. And we had a great talk with the governors today. I think it was a really great talk. There's a tremendous coordination. There's a tremendous spirit that we have together with the governors. And that's pretty much, for the most part, bipartisan. Yeah.
Mr. President, you told John that you think this could wash through, as you said, July, August. You just told Steve when he asked you about a possibility of recession, you said it may be. I'm curious, if there is a recession, when do you think that might hit?
Well, I don't, number one, determine recession. I just say this. We have an invisible enemy. We have a problem that a month ago nobody ever thought about. Nobody in I've read about it. I read about many years ago, 1917, 1918. I've seen all of the different problems similar to this that we've had. This is a bad one. This is a very bad one. This is bad in the sense that it's so contagious. It's just so contagious, sort of record-setting type contagion. The good part is the young people are... They do very well, and healthy people do very well. Very, very bad for older people, especially older people with problems. My focus is really on getting rid of this problem, this virus problem. Once we do that, everything else is going to fall into place. Yes, please.
A lot of rumors last night that you were going to put in a national curfew or some kind of, texting stuff.
I've been watching.
Right, exactly. Me too. Your people were saying this is a foreign disinformation campaign. Is that what's going on? Are people messing with us on the Internet?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that I can't tell you if they are or not. I think a lot of the media actually has been very fair. I think people are pulling together on this. I really think the media has been very fair. I think it could be that you have some foreign groups that are playing games, but it doesn't matter. We haven't really determined to do that at all, and hopefully we won't have to. That's a very big step. It's a step we can take, but we have not decided to do it. Jennifer, go.
Mr. President, two things, one on airlines and one on Jeff Bezos. Can you talk a little bit specifically about what you'd like to do to help the airlines, first of all? And then second of all, we heard that Jeff Bezos has been in contact with the White House daily. Can you say what he's been asking for or proposing?
Well, I've heard that's true. I don't know that for a fact, but I know that some of my people have, as I understand it, been dealing with them or with him. And that's nice. We've had tremendous support from a lot of people that can help. And I believe he was one of them. As far as the airlines are concerned, the airlines, we're going to back the airlines 100%. It's not their fault. It's nobody's fault unless you go to the original source. But it's nobody's fault. And we're going to be in a position to help the airlines very much. We've told the airlines we're going to help them.
$25 billion.
So we're going to be helping. We're going to be backstopping the airlines. We're going to be helping them very much. It's very important.
What do you do about the stock market, sir?
$25 billion for the passenger carriers and $4 billion for cargo?
We're going to be looking at it very strongly. We have to back the airlines. It's not their fault. In fact, they were having a record season. Everybody was. They were having record seasons, and then this came out, and it came out from nowhere. So not their fault, but we're going to be backing the airline. Yeah.
Stocks continue to fall today. Would the White House support negative rates?
Best thing I can do for the stock market is we have to get through this crisis. That's what I can do. That's the best thing we can do. That's what I think about. Once this virus is gone, I think you're going to have a stock market like nobody's ever seen before.
Thank you, Mr. President.
be voting tomorrow, Mr. President?
Mr. President, the other day you said you don't take
He'll be back in a second. He'll be back in a second. I think the question that I think maybe John asked about until July, the guidelines are a 15-day trial guideline to be reconsidering. It isn't that these guidelines are now going to be in effect until July. What the president was saying is that the trajectory of the outbreak may go till then. Make sure we don't think that these are is solid in stone till July.
Yeah.
That would be the outside number.
Yeah. Mr. President.
Mr. President, you've been criticized.
Hold on one second, please, go ahead.
Senate Republicans, do you want Senate Republicans to change the package that passed the House last week, even though you
I think they may make it even better. Look, they're working together very well with the House. They're working very much in unison, like the question before. They're working to only enhance it and make it better and make it fair for everybody. And that's what we're looking to do. So we may go back and forth with the House a little bit, but both will be in a very positive fashion. Please.
Yeah, Mr. President, these new guidelines say avoid social gatherings in groups of more than 10 people. The CDC's recommendations yesterday were for people to avoid gatherings of more than 50 people. What's evolved in you and your team's thinking in just the past 24 hours? And also, what exactly do you need to see in a stimulus?
Well, let me just have the professionals answer that. Would you like to do that?
Great. Thank you, and thank you for that question. So we have been working on models day and night around the globe to really predict, because some countries in our very early stage, like the United States, we've been working with groups in the United Kingdom. So we had new information coming out from a model, and what had the biggest impact in the model is social distancing, small groups, not going in public in large groups. The most important thing was if one person in the household became infected, the whole household self-quarantined for 14 days, because that stops 100% of the transmission outside of the household. And as we talked about early on, it's silent. We had another silent epidemic, HIV. And I just want to recognize the HIV epidemic was solved by the community, the HIV advocates and activists who stood up when no one was listening and got everyone's attention. We're asking that same sense of community to come together and stand up against this virus. And if everybody in America does what we ask for over the next 15 days, we will see a dramatic difference, and we won't have to worry about the ventilators, and we won't have to worry about the ICU beds, because we won't have our elderly and our people at the greatest risk having to be hospitalized.
Do you know how many Americans have actually been tested? Do you have a number?
There is a number. I don't have that number because I've been working on setting up this distribution system. So this is where we are. The state and public health laboratories in the CDC are published every day on the CDC website. The CDC gets feeds from LabCorp and Quest, and they get that on a daily basis. What is not being received right now, and Ambassador Birx is fixing, is that these homegrown tests in highly complex labs don't necessarily get reported in the system. However, as we move forward, particularly in the high in the commercial phase of where we are right now, we expect about 80 to 85% of the tests to flow right into the CDC. We know them. That's not good enough for Ambassador Birx. She wants 100, and we'll work on that.
Sir,
I think just to put it a different way, a lot of testing has been going on, and I don't believe anybody's been able to do what we're doing and what we will be doing.
And let me just say that we talked about the drive-through testing yesterday. I want it to be clear to everybody, this is just another tool for states and local public health systems and healthcare systems to use. It's not replacing testing that it goes on in a doctor's office or in a hospital, or if you go to your doctor and wants to get tested in that office. This is just another tool that we're helping the states to have. And again, as we talked about, this is modeled on the FEMA-based points of distribution system, optimized for testing. We expect this week, we now have gear, people being shipped right now, today, that will be in over 12 states with multiple sites, many of states having multiple sites, to start augmenting the local capacity and really providing the state and the local people what they need as another way for people to get tested.
So this has never been done before. That's never been done, and certainly not on a level like that. And I will say that I think I can speak for the professionals that if you don't have the symptoms, if your doctor doesn't think you need it, don't get the test. Don't get the test. I think it's very important. Not everybody should run out and get the test.
That's right.
But we're able to handle tremendous numbers of people. John?
Mr. President, earlier today, Governor Cuomo of New York said that he believes that hospital capacity soon will be overwhelmed and implored you to call on the Army Corps of Engineers to build temporary facilities to house patients. Is that something
we're looking into it? We've heard that. We've heard it from really two places. There are two places that have specifically, New York being one, and we are looking into it very strongly. Yeah. Steve, go ahead.
Sir, how have you changed your own behavior to take account of this virus? Are you washing your hands more?
I've always washed my hands a lot. I wash my hands a lot, probably, maybe, if anything, more. Certainly not less.
What was it like taking the test?
Not something I want to do every day, I can tell you that. It's, it's a little bit of a... good doctors in the White House, but it's a test. It's a test. It's a medical test. Nothing pleasant about it.
You said that in a tweet that Governor Cuomo should be doing more.
I think he can do more.
What specifically should he be doing?
I think he can do more. And, you know, it's an area of the country that's very hot right now. I think New Rochelle, and a place I know very well. I grew up right near New Rochelle. I think it's an area that has to be tamped down even more because it's a hotbed. There's no question about it. So I think they can look at doing it. But we're getting along very well. We've had a very in fact, I noticed you made some statements just now that the relationship with the federal government has been good. The federal government has done everything they've wanted us to do. But we can I think it's very important that all of the governors get along very well with us and that we get along with the governors. And I think that's happening.
The defense secretary and the assistant defense secretary have decided to separate and be in a bubble to avoid the spread of the disease and to protect the chain of command. Is that something you and the vice president should be doing? And has there been any talk about having to have a 25th Amendment?
Well, we haven't thought of it, but, you know, I will say this, that we're very careful. We're very careful with, you know, being together. Even the people behind me they've been very strongly tested. I've been very strongly tested. And we have to be very careful. But everybody should be vigilant. We have to be vigilant. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. President. Two simple questions for you, Mr. President.
Go ahead, please.
Hold it before you.
Okay. I don't know if this is a question for you or for Dr. Birx, but Dr. Birx said that it is the millennials who are going to lead us through this and that now is the time to look out for the older people in our home. Older might be a state of mind, not necessarily an age. So for those millennials of us who have parents who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, what is older? What should we tell them at this point?
Well, if I was Dr. Fauci, I would tell you there's a physiologic age and a numerical age. So older people with pre-existing conditions. And what do we mean by that? You know, significant heart disease, significant kidney disease, significant lung disease, any immunosuppression, any recent treatment for cancer, any of those pieces in any household. Now, why do I think the millennials are the key?